Welcome back to the show. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're now joined on the McDonald's hotline by Chris O'Leary. You can go to his website, chrisoleary.com. He's an expert in pitching mechanics, and he's also apparently an expert in getting your sales pitch across in 2 minutes in an elevator. Right. Chris, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Chris, I have to tell you, when I saw your elevator pitch, I was like, oh my God, what is this, like a rising fastball? Is it some sort of sink? What is the elevator pitch? And I didn't realize you're a whole entrepreneur, too, on the side.
Yeah, it's slightly random, so there's not a great connection other than the word pitch. So
before we get into the whole thing, though, tell us your background. How did you become an expert on pitching mechanics? I just need to understand this.
Well, I never played baseball out of Little League or so because I ended up messing up my shoulder. And then about 6 years ago, my son started pitching and was pretty effective. And I just started researching it because I didn't want what happened to me to happen to him. And then I had a kid who had an elbow problem after just one game, and that just kind of led me to dig into it. And then I started, you know, kind of researching it and realized that the gurus out there, they were all contradicting each other. So I went back into kind of the research and just kind of went all the way back and read all the medical research and everything and just tried to figure it out for myself. And
subsequently, your work has been picked up by other major league teams and player development programs. Is that right?
Yeah. I've got about, you know, guys in about 10 organizations who are following me. It's mostly on the down low because I think that, well, for one thing, I'm nobody. And also people are afraid I may be crazy. I'm kind of like the Mel Gibson character in Conspiracy Theory where people follow me because I may be right. But I'm concerned I may also be crazy.
Well, so we've heard other people criticize the inverted W motion, where the elbow is above the ball during the throwing action, and you've, of course, you've compared Strasburg's pictures to other guys who didn't have arm problems, like, you know, the Greg Maddoxes of the world and Roy Halladay and Nolan Ryan,
right?
And it certainly makes sense. And I've heard other guys criticize the inverted W, but just kind of explain it to the listeners who have questions about what the inverted W is and why that puts so much strain on the elbow.
Well, there's this idea called scap loading or scapular loading, where you're trying to get a little bit extra on your ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is where you take them behind, you basically pinch your scaps together on the backside and you take your elbows back. Well, what I figured out is that what the really durable guys do is they scap load, but they take their elbows back behind their body. What the not so durable guys do is they take their elbows back, but they also take them up. Now, that's actually painful to do.
It is.
But it's not that bad in and of itself. The problem is that when you take the elbows back and up, you can end up with a timing problem where basically when a pitcher throws, when their front foot plants, the shoulders start to rotate. If you scap load with the inverted W or the inverted L or the inverted V that I talk about, your arm's going to be late. It's not going to be in the right position when your glove side foot plants.
Gotcha.
You know, so then the shoulder start rotating and the arm comes around especially hard, which puts a lot of load on the elbow and the shoulder.
So it becomes more of like an all-arm thing. They're not using your legs and your hips and everything as effectively as you could.
Well, it's the problem is your sequencing is wrong.
Right.
You're turning your shoulders before the arm is ready.
Right, so your arm is naked doing all of the load.
Right. Yeah, your arm's getting overloaded.
Right.
Well, and the analogy that I use is that scap loading works. It will give you a velocity boost.
Right.
But it's the moral equivalent of running an engine past the red line.
Right.
It works for a while, you know. NASCAR guys run engines past the red line all the time, but that's because they throw in a new engine every race or two.
Yeah.
For a pitcher, you know.
Is it 100%? Are there any guys that have the inverted W motion that haven't had significant arm problems, but they've had long careers?
Well, there's Tom Glavine, who did have some inverted W, and he actually kind of made me think about this. I think there's a velocity component to this.
Yeah, he didn't throw as hard.
Right. No, he was a high 80s, low 90s guy. He was also a Brave. The Braves had crazy conditioning stuff. You know, John Smoltz is another guy. John Smoltz certainly wasn't clean, you know, from an injury perspective, but he was able to have a reasonable career. I think Mazzoni's conditioning stuff contributed toward that.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but in general, you know, you look at Hall of Famers, I mean, the only Don Drysdale's got, you know, an inverted L kind of guy, same kind of thing. He did go for 12 years, but he ended up retiring with shoulder problems.
Right. Yeah.
It's hard to find a Hall of Famer with a pure inverted W.
Well, what's ironic about the motion that he has is when he first came up, and of course we're based in Washington, so we talked to a bunch of guys. We talked to Mitch Williams about it, and when we talked to Mitch Williams, he was so high on it and so high on his mechanics. I can't remember what he said, Brent.
Well, one of the big things was the way he was dropping his leg,
I think he said he was basically had a perfect motion. And this is Mitch Williams, who pitched in the league for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. And I'm not sure if Mitch Williams had that arm problem, but he was so high on the mechanics. And then, of course, you know, 2 months later,
he
blows his arm out.
Well, and the problem, that goes back to the whole thing of it's a very powerful thing to do, and yes, you can throw very hard, but the problem is you're running an engine past the red line.
And
part of the thing is the human eye can't see this stuff. You know, everyone said that Mark Pryor was the smoothest pitcher that they'd ever seen,
right?
And he was very smooth from the naked eye, but if you slow him down frame by frame,
it was bad. And I saw that on your blog. One last question for you before Eric asks you something. The guy, if you look up Tommy John surgery, you know, anywhere on Wikipedia or Google it, you've seen how many guys actually have had it. And guys like Carl Pavano have had it. Timmy Hudson had it. Josh Johnson had it. Eric Bedard had it. I mean, a lot of guys, now Bedard's not the same as he was, but guys who are having really good years. Pavano's 15-game winner, 16-game winner. Hudson's may win the Cy Young. So my question to you is, have they changed their mechanics since having it?
Generally, no.
Okay, so their arms are just strong enough where they can withstand it now.
Right. Okay. You know, their UCL was degrading for a few years, and now it's back to you know, roughly the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't blow their arm out again. I think Billy Wagner's had Tommy John twice.
Oh.
But
and he's not the same.
Well, it kind of depends which year you're talking about. He can be effective, but
he's also older.
Yes, right. So, Tommy John is a pretty good procedure. I just saw a stat last night that it's 95% recoverable in youth pitchers. The number's more like 85-90% recoverable in older pitchers. But
so, do you still stand by your statement, though? And I'm assuming you gave this right after the announcement that he was going to need the procedure. That given Strasburg's velocity, if nothing changes in his mechanics and he remains a starter, the Nats will get one or two more years of value out of him before his shoulder blows up.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes with these guys.
So he can just have to start from the ground up with his mechanics, just relearn how to throw and not get that inverted W like you show on his site?
Yeah, I think he's got to change his arm action if he wants to, if he wants to be a 10-15 year kind of guy.
The guys I just mentioned didn't change their mechanics and they're dominant.
Yes, but they also have, they're dominant for a while until their elbow blows up again.
So you think that those guys are ticking time bombs? It's just eventually they're either their elbow blows up again or their shoulder moves to that part of the body.
Yes, usually there's a reason why someone falls apart.
We're talking to Chris O'Leary, who's talking about Steven Strasburg and his mechanics. Now, to be fair, before this happened, you had written an analysis about his form, and you said that he may be likely to have arm problems, but then you said there's a chance he could be more like a John Smoltz. Talk about that.
Well, there's still some art to this. There are a lot of variables involved in terms of, and the Mark Pryor thing, I think, has really made that clear. You know, a lot of people blame Dusty Baker for abusing him. I think there's a whole interaction between velocity. You know, you look at Tom Glavine. Tom Glavine had inverted W, but really was pretty much clean. I think there's an interaction between velocity, between conditioning, you know, all those kind of things. So the problem with Strasburg, though, is that he basically does he's got all the red flags.
Right. And the problem is, let's just say, who knows how difficult it would be to change your motion. This guy's a world-class pitcher with this inverted W style. Let's say he could change it and mold it more after like a Nolan Ryan or a Roger Clemens type. The problem is those guys are really super special. He's likely to lose 5 miles an hour or so off his game, and that's what makes him Steven Strasburg.
Right, no, absolutely, and that's the risk. I'm actually working with another. I've spent some time talking to a major leaguer. I can't.
Right.
He hasn't decided whether to change or not. Essentially, what happened is when he was in high school, and this is probably something similar to Strasburg, is when he was in high school, Mark Pryor and Kerry Wood were all the rage. So he decided to copy their mechanics, you know, which seemed like a good idea at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had one injury after another. And I'm still having a hard time. He still hasn't committed to changing his mechanics because, you know, he doesn't, you know, I'm nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I may be crazy. It's not until he hits bottom that he's really going to change things. And you look at Pryor, who, you know, it's hard to say that he hasn't hit bottom, and he's still kind of doing what he was doing. He's making some superficial changes, but at the end of the day, he's still got the timing problem.
Have you seen Aroldis Chapman pitch since I just called him up, but he threw 105 in the minors. Have you seen him pitch yet?
I've seen a little bit of him. I've seen some stills. I haven't seen a video, but he looks cleaner than some of the other people. I'm less concerned about him than I was with Strasburg.
Right. So unless Strasburg changes his arm action, you're predicting, you know, maybe 2-3 years down the road he could be done, or maybe have to go to a closer role, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way this stuff usually works out. You know, I'm just kind of going off of percentages, what's happened before with guys.
Why did Kerry Wood seemingly recover, lead the league in strikeouts 2 or 3 years after the surgery, and now is just a reliever? Is that because this is the only way to utilize him effectively before the arm blows up?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah, he had the problem is that Wood's shoulder blew up. What the Nats need to do is they need to prevent Strasburg before his shoulder blows up.
Right.
So hold on, did Wood have a Tommy John and a shoulder?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Although he didn't, Wood's shoulder may not have been as bad. He just kind of rehabbed it in the off season and was able to pull it together. And that's actually kind of the silver lining to this whole Tommy John thing and his elbow blowing up. That's going to give his shoulder a year to a year and a half to kind of get to heal itself. And
right.
Generally, when you're looking at major injuries, it takes the body at least a year to recover from this stuff.
Right.
So Strasburg's going to come back with a shoulder that's in better shape than it was. He was probably on the verge of blowing up his shoulder. It's just his elbow went first.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to Anthony Reyes of the Indians.
Now, Reyes, his arm action was, he just looked like an alien.
What about a guy like...
Just in fairness, Kerry Wood did pummel, you know, both key parts to his arm, but he also... Like, he slipped out like of a hot tub and tore his ACL. I mean, he had some ridiculous injuries.
He's kind of a brittle guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and also, to his credit, he's still finding a way to stick around.
Right.
True. I mean, he's still there, and Pryor's not.
What about a guy like, I don't study the mechanics of these guys at all, but a guy like Lincecum, does he have anything unique to his action? I mean, obviously, it
looks
funny.
Yeah, he's got the inverted L. I've got a friend with the Giants, and I actually spent 10 minutes hanging out with Lincecum kind of talking hitting, and I was going to say something, but I decided not to, but his velocity's off, and he's got an inverted L, and I think it's a little bit of that.
What's the difference between the W and the L?
With the W, both elbows go up and high.
Yeah, gotcha.
With the L, just the back arm goes up, and it...
Gotcha.
Basically, the forearm hangs down vertically. The elbow doesn't get as high. The inverted L is basically what happened to Chris Carpenter, BJ Ryan.
Which one's worse for you? Are they equivalent?
They're probably both destructive. They're destructive in slightly different ways. The L is probably worse because it tends to hurt the labrum more, and the labrum's a lot harder to fix.
So if you were raising your kids today, you would show them film of Ryan and Clemens and these guys, and the key ingredient there is the elbow is below the ball the whole time? Is that the idea?
Well, it's getting the arm up as early as you can, or at least on time. The biggest thing is there's this cue out there that's break the hands with the elbow. That is a very dangerous cue because you can get into these inverted arm actions. So don't break the hands with the elbows. Kind of break the hands with the hands. Lead with the hand. Get the hand up early.
Who's got perfect mechanics? Like when you show film.
Oh, Halliday's got to be up there.
Who's perfect?
Well, I mean, I go back to a lot of this is old school. Ryan Seaver, Randy Johnson, Greg Maddux. Unfortunately, not very many of these guys are in the league right now.
Yeah.
So everybody's got a flaw in their stroke.
So are these guys just getting taught by their Little League and American Legion coaches to throw this way? Why are so many of these guys experiencing these problems now, whereas they weren't like 20, 30 years ago?
Well, to a large degree, the whole inverted arm actions is the result of people being taught it. Back in the early 2000s, there's this guy who figured out that it'll help you throw harder, but he didn't really pay attention to...
Who was the guy?
He's named Paul Nyman.
Okay. So he's single-handedly ruined careers.
Well, I'm not going to say that, but there's this whole idea of scap loading, and he's kind of the father of scap loading. And I've had arguments with him, and he's basically very fatalistic about this. He's like, injuries are going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
Are you studying like all of the young hot guys now just to see what kind of arm action they have?
You know, I follow them to a degree, but it's kind of funny. I actually think I've mostly figured this out. I mean, I pay attention to guys. I pay attention to guys in the Cardinals. But I will say, you know, Jordan Zimmermann, he's got an inverted L arm action. His shoulder's next.
Yeah, his shoulder's next.
So,
that would be another disaster for them.
Well, I can't root for the Nats. All the pitchers' arms are going to blow off.
It's doom and gloom. Yeah. Would you have drafted Strasburg with the number one pick?
Oh, that's a hard one.
He was the clear-cut number one.
Not number one. I would not have taken him number one.
Wow. Wow. I would hire this guy, Jason.
No, he's
I would hire
like,
him.
He and sounds
I would,
like he knows what he's talking
I
about.
I wouldn't select the guy in the draft until he looked at his action.
Yeah.
I really would.
Problem is, there are other guys who think differently.
They're countering.
About it.
Right. Yeah. I know, right.
Real quick, last thing. I'd be interested in your take on John Lester. I'm a Red Sox fan. And Lester is, you know, he's having a great year. And if you compare Lester's motion to Clemens, they're almost identical. Obviously, Lester's a lefty. But if you break those guys down, and Clemens really didn't have any arm problems in his career, but if you broke them both down, they're almost identical. And I'm wondering if Lester has that. I mean, I'm not smart enough to see it in fast motion, but if you would break it down in slow motion or still photos, how you would assess that?
I think Lester's better than average. I've looked at him a little bit. His elbows get a little high, but they don't get too high. He's a little kind of, you know, trap dominant. His elbows are a little high, but it seems like his timing is better than some.
Right.
You know, and, well, Clemens is another good guy to follow, though the whole... I still like his mechanics. I think the steroids thing, HGH thing, just kind of gave him a couple extra years and let him
recover
some stuff. You know, let him throw harder longer, that kind of thing.
Good stuff.
All right, Chris, man.
Thanks,
we really appreciate the time.
That was awesome. It really was.
The website, again, is chrisoleary.com.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, take care, man.
All right, now we've got a guy who's on the line who apparently has a baseball academy here in Sterling, Virginia. He pitched at Virginia Tech.
Right.
And he says that he's watched thousands of hours of video. I think he just kind of wanted to actually further Chris's theory.
Yeah. What's his name? Pat what?
I'm not sure if his last name
Pinkman.
Is Pinkman, I think it is.
It's the Pinkman.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, Pat? How you doing, buddy?
All right. How you guys doing?
Doing great.
Was I right on your qualifications?
Yeah. I played 4 years at Virginia Tech, and then I spent 2 years up in the Cape Cod Baseball League, and then my shoulder actually blew out. So.
Right. Gotcha. So what are your thoughts?
Well, he has a very a large amount of what he said is very accurate. The reason why that inverted W puts so much stress on the shoulder and the elbow is because when you throw, you have external rotation, which the hand sort of lays back, and that's how you get that slingshot motion. So there's thousands of degrees per second that your arm moves, and the more stress you add on that back and forth motion, the more fragile the elbow is going to be. So he's got a lot of very valid points. I think, E.B., you guys were talking about how you guys had talked to Mitch Williams, and he said he had perfect mechanics. I mean, if you look at Mitch Williams, his mechanics were probably one of the worst you've ever seen.
Right. He used to, like, fall down.
Right. So, and if you look at Kerry Wood, he had a very similar delivery. He always fell off the mound along with the inverted W. So a lot of major league pitchers, it's like, for instance, you talk to Tony Gwynn about hitting. He can't really talk to you about hitting. He just did it.
Yeah.
Mitch Williams probably didn't know the first thing about mechanics. He just sees Steven Strasburg looking good. And he says, oh, wow, this kid's squared away. He throws 105 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where we have actually found ways and drills to change the way kids move their arm and throw their arm. And, obviously we work with kids from ages like 8 to, you know, all the way through college and some minor leaguers. But there is a way that you can do that, and it's just through a series of drills and things like that. But people are really scared to do that. They're very hesitant, like Chris was saying. There's no way you're going to talk Steven Strasburg into saying, hey, you know what, your arm's going to blow out. let's try to work on your mechanics a little bit.
True.
And he's going to say, you know, go screw.
But right. Yeah, exactly.
It's just like with Tim Tebow. I hear a lot of people saying he'll never make it because he can't change his throwing motion. And yes, he can. If anybody can do it, I think he can because he's got the work ethic to do it. It's not very easy, but you're able to change it as long as you put the work in, you have the repetitions, and you have the right sort of balance between mechanics and explosive movement and things like that.
No, that's a good point. I mean, I don't think Strasburg's going to change it because that's what he learned for 21 years.
I think it's really hard, though.
And it's hard. And if his arm is stronger when he comes back after the surgery, why change it?
Well, just because now eventually the shoulder's going to go next.
Well, maybe. I mean, you can't predict that. I mean, some of these other guys haven't had problems like that.
You know what? I would bet on a shoulder issue for him.
I look at pitchers, like, Halliday throws 225, 240 innings a year. And
does he have the inverted W?
No, I'm not saying he does. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I think some guys are just built for it.
I hear a lot of times, I heard some guys saying that pitching is an unnatural motion. And you have to think about what cavemen did. They chucked a spear at a deer to hunt. They didn't do it underhand like a softball player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the throwing motion that's unnatural. It's doing it 250 innings to 300 innings a year.
That's true.
Throwing 150 pitches every 5 days. That's more the unnatural part of it. So,
all right, Pat, we got to run, man. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the input.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Okay, buddy.
So I guess O'Leary wasn't just a hack.
No, I don't think so.
Some people think he is, but
I don't think he's a hack at all. He's got his own opinion.
He makes a lot of good points. He does.
Right.
I mean, you can disagree with it, but to call him a hack, I don't think that's fair.
No,
but
he probably has detractors, like everybody.
Yeah, he's got an opinion. It's controversial, and it's outside-the-box thinking.
And in fact, I remember bringing up that website when we had Mitch Williams on, and early on when we had Strasburg on, when we were talking about him having perfect mechanics, somebody sent like an IM or an email linking this guy's website, and we actually talked about it on the air because he actually kind of predicted it before even seeing one start in the major leagues.
He did it in 08. He predicted it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Wow, man. This is fascinating stuff.
Sucks for the Nats. They're not going to see Strasburg for another year.
And then when we do, he's just going to blow his arm out.
He's just taxing his shoulder.
Don't forget what he said about Jordan Zimmermann.
Yeah,
I mean, his shoulders next. Jinxed him.
Zimmermann and Strasburg's shoulders are going next. Because they've reinforced the elbow. The elbow's going to be good.
Quit drafting pitchers. Get some hitters.
Go with positional players.
I know. All right, we'll be right back.